Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Hello, good citizen. Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 197. Say, you're going to go to San Diego Comic-Con this year? Come see us at the Nerdist Podcast live at the Balboa Theater Friday, July 13th in San Diego during SDCC. Hashtag nerds. We're going to be doing the Nerdist Podcast live there. Matt and Jonah and I will be on the show. Plus, we will have amazing guests, I promise you. You can rest assured we will have good guests. So go right now to Nerdist.com/calendar and get your tickets, because they're actually kind of going fast. People are actually buying them. Still weirds me out, but I love it. I just remember a time when no one would buy tickets to anything. So it is a pleasant surprise to see your smiling nerdy faces sitting in our shows, and we appreciate it. So come by Nerdist Podcast Live in San Diego, July 13th during San Diego Comic-Con. Our sponsor for this week for the Nerdist Podcast is Amazon. It's super easy. You're probably going to buy stuff from Amazon anyway, so if you just go to this podcast page on the Nerdist.com site, click on the Amazon banner at the bottom, and just shop as you normally would to buy dog biscuits or feminine deodorant spray or face massagers or books or anything, then you support the Nerdist Podcast. And we certainly appreciate it, and thank you for continuing to support us. This episode is our old buddy John Hamm coming back for a second time on the Nerdist Podcast. It's been 2 years since we had John on. He was on, maybe episode 4 or 5 of the Nerdist Podcast, and now he's back. Mad Men this season has been amazing. John actually directed the second episode, and it was, I didn't know that until after I saw it. I'm like, wow, that was a good episode. And they're like, John Hamm directed that. Like, what doesn't he do? He does everything. He even bowls. If you go to see All-Star Celebrity Bowling on the Nerdist YouTube channel this week, Team Nerdist bowled Team Mad Men. It was John Hamm, Rich Sommer, Vincent Kartheiser, and Matthew Weiner who created Mad Men. And it was fun. There was an epic amount of amazing, wonderful shit-talking going on in this episode. Pete Holmes was like an unstoppable bonfire of heckling. It was phenomenal. Those guys were so much fun. So you can go right now to youtube.com/Nerdist and see All-Star Celebrity Bowling versus Team Mad Men and click subscribe while you're there. So there you go. Nerdist Podcast episode number 197 with John Hamm.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Yeah, it's like
ripped someone's throat out.
Like a gravel, there's a gravel parking lot. It's right on the train tracks.
You walk. Yeah, Sam Elliott's voice. That's the gravel parking lot. Right.
That you just park out of my voice.
Just
park
sometimes.
On
time.
Park on beef.
It's what's for dinner.
It's what's for dinner. This ass kicking is what's for dinner. Welcome to the Granada Room at the Hollywood Roosevelt.
They shot
Hotel.
A lot of Magic City here. Did you know that?
I didn't.
In
really?
The Granada Room.
How is the Magic City?
I've
I haven't seen it yet.
Not seen it.
I love
Mitch Glazer, though, creator of Magic City, friend of the show.
A friend of the show. Okay, yeah, exactly. Because obviously now you can't see anything like Playboy Club or whatever, or the airline one, where you're like, well, yeah, it's Mad Men.
The airline
Pan Am.
One.
Pan Am.
Didn't they cancel but still like showed the last six?
Did they?
I think so.
That's going to be horrible.
People needed to know.
But like, especially if you're like, if you've like invested in a show.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, you're canceled."
Yeah.
But we're gonna show them all.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna.
I think
we're
they wrapped
this.
It up
it's like stepping
production.
On your shin.
Dad, yeah. Please don't show everyone, son. You're gonna learn.
Listen, yeah. You got there's one way to learn.
You make a good show, and then we'll not
we'll
show
pick
it.
You.
Wait, what?
Okay, I don't understand.
It's backwards logic. I mean, it's weird that Mad Men is really sort of the gold standard for like you know period drama now on television, and you can't. And when you watch other like Mad Men is such an I mean I've been a fan of the show forever and you
since you before it was a show
that is
before
factually
it was
true.
A show
that
I loved the 60s true. And but it, you see when you see other people try to do like a 60s show you're like oh yeah it's not just putting people in skinny ties there's more to it with the acting and the writing as well.
Well, I mean honestly you know it, there is and there isn't. I mean our show is we try to make it a little more than just a bunch of dudes walking around in funny
of course.
Clothes. And I think the best period dramas, whether it's Downton Abbey or Deadwood or what have you, I think are more than just sort of a weird little travelogue of like, look how funny it was back in the old days.
Yeah.
Because sure, you could, you know, Deadwood was better than just an old-timey cowboy, you know, thing. And Downton Abbey, I think, is also a little better than most kind of, you know, stiff upper lip British pre-war.
I really think Downton Abbey needs a Calamity Jane. Would you like us to get the silverware? You goddamn cocksucker! You shite, pissed on the floor.
Season,
you're marble.
Season. Four.
I think
they should really just bring back that 80s show. I think it's time.
There's no that 1880s show.
That 1880s show. Yeah.
That's what Deadwood was? Yeah. Was? That 1880s.
That 1880s show.
You guys would like to go well, it's the crazy guy doing the four.
The four. They did. Well, then there's what's the.
Wilmer Valderrama was great in Deadwood, though. I thought he was yeah, really,
such
yeah,
a good
really
job
wonderful. Yeah.
Playing the role of Gerald McCraney. That was actually Wilmer Valderrama in a Gerald McCraney robotic suit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Gerald McCraney's been dead for 50 years.
He's, yeah. Yeah, and he's never been better.
Do you think Colin Meaney is the Wilmer Valderrama of Hell on Wheels?
Yeah, yeah. I think...
That's pretty deep.
The Calm yeah. Meanie. who was the singer from America's Got from Britain's Got Talent? Susan Boyle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was the Calm Meanie yes. of America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Oh, no. She could be the Calamity Jane of Downton Abbey. Actually, yeah. If we can get Susan,
no one will ever cocksucking judges.
Just pee in her pants.
Susan, try not to urinate on the stage. The judges don't like it. I will swallow your soul.
Her shriek has sold so many albums.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I think if you could somehow put Jackie Evancho and Susan Boyle in a transporter device from The Fly, mm-hmm. you would get like
Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, that's where
Jeff
I was going
Goldblum would
that.
Walk out.
Jazzy.
That's
piano playing.
Fabulous Baker Boys.
Just a
extra.
Inward nose breathing. He does a lot of that.
Scat man.
Who does the nose breathing? Goldblum?
Yeah, Goldblum. Yeah, just it's like, I
oh,
think,
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should.
yeah.
It's
The man is jazz.
The man
he's
is
a physical representation of jazz.
He is. He actually will live on as
all
jazz.
Angles. He's all angles and elbows. Yeah.
It's all chaos theory.
It's chaos theory.
Theory.
You know, you might get a line out of him. You might not.
He actually, his first two movies.
It's always
going to
be interesting.
They're always cutting away from him going, skip it a bop.
Jeff, could you please not say skip it a bop? We're going to have to cut that out every time you say it.
Whatever. I mean, hey.
I'm improv.
That's what I do.
I'm improv jazzing what I do.
We're all here. So
here.
We're all here.
Here.
Skibbity-doo. Skibbity-doo. No, God damn it. Now you're doing it at the end. We had you on the show like pretty early on in the run.
Early on in the yeah, I was an early adopter, as they say in your world.
You were. We got a little bit of the ham boost right away. Actually, like that was the episode where people were like,
"Let's not listen."
No. But what I sort of predicted back then, and not that I'm taking ownership on this, was that you know I said you're super funny, and I don't know if everyone knows that yet, but they will start to figure it out when you start doing more comedy stuff. And in the last couple of years...
When I start to do more podcasts.
Yes. That's really when it tips. Yeah. That's really when it tips.
Because no one knew he was funny after he had hosted Saturday Night Live.
Well, but I mean, it takes a little bit of time for the rest of America to catch up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just talking about early adopters, it takes a little bit of time. You know, you have to make, now that you've made a few appearances on SNL and you've actually done, you know, comedy and film, like now people know, like, oh, John does both.
Well, you know, it's funny for me because, I mean, I've known you guys way before for podcasts and all
before
that
internet.
Stuff anyway, way before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, I think I may have told the story here, but it's that was the first thing I ever did for fun in LA was go see comedy.
Yeah.
Because it was cheap. And it was what my friends all did. So we all would go out and catch shows at Largo or wherever. And you know, it was a bunch of people that were before they were famous, you know, before they were stars.
We stood in line on Vine Street to go see Crossballs.
We did.
Oh my God.
You, me, and Scott Aukerman. There was someone to see the taping of the pilot of Crossballs.
Yeah.
The pilot of Crossballs.
Yeah. I think John Schrader
was there.
Yeah, I think he was there.
So, yeah, there's a lot of shared history. But it is fun. It's fun to get the opportunity to actually do that stuff that I've been watching for so long. And you know, I'm thrilled to do it. I've maintained the fact that I know how people who are funny behave and how they go about the craft of being funny.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I don't have any discipline in that arena.
But you can act.
But I can fake it.
You can fake it real good.
You're the Bo Jackson of acting.
It's nice, though.
Bo Jackson was really good at a lot of things. I'm saying I can fake it. And then I break my hip.
You did not break your hip today in the bowling match, which we're not going to reveal the results of yet, but people can watch that on All Star Bowling. But
I was close to having a pretty good score.
I figured you would have that. You would be a good bowler, just being from the region of the country that you are. You're in the bowling belt. Is Missouri? There was a bowling belt, and it was all those sort of like.
It's a really big belt, huh?
It was a giant belt.
But seriously, I remember touring those regions with my dad when I was growing up because it was just this kind of like this sort of blue collar driven.
Sure. You know, from like, Milwaukee down to maybe
to St. Louis, and then like you know, like around Illinois and Cincinnati. And
It was sort of the Rust Belt extended out a little bit. Mm-hmm. It didn't go to the West where they had mountains and fun things to do outside.
No, it was all indoor activities.
Didn't go down to the South where they just don't care.
Pretty much where it was flat enough to have a lane,
flat enough to put a bowling alley. Yeah. We got it. But also, St. Louis used to be the home of the Bowling Hall of Fame.
And they moved it
to where did they move it?
I think they moved it to. It's a part of another thing now. It's not its own thing anymore. I think they moved it to Texas.
Bowling and Parakeet Hall of Fame.
But seriously, some of the best parakeets.
I mean, some of the most parakeet stuff you can find.
Yeah. The plumes on these things.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Just gorgeous. Mm.
Polly doesn't need a cracker. That's how awesome Polly
is.
Polly
is
a parrot.
She would like one.
Same thing.
Oh, boy.
Call it a bird.
I guess I should get off her first.
Oh, nice. Well done. Well done.
That was a radio high five.
That was a radio. Well, listen, when someone references Nirvana while we're talking about
the
Parakeet Museum.
The rare occasion someone references Nirvana.
Love it.
Rarakeet. That's what I'm going to call your name. You just come in with like a totally rare situation.
Rarakeet.
You've been super cool also to... you're one of those guys who you made it, but you're still the same dude you were before, and you still like go back and do all your friends' podcasts like this one or Pardo's or Aukerman's or you know.
Well, part of that is having enough energy because in my castle that I live in now,
I have
a hyperbaric chamber that I can recharge my chi.
Yeah,
I can recharge I get my blood shifted out every 2 weeks.
Chi levels up,
and I can maintain that level of energy and youth that people expect from me. So. I get driven everywhere I go. everything's paid for, so that helps.
Yeah,
I mean, that helps a lot. I'm happy to do it. It's fun.
Do you have a piss valet that just sort of takes care?
Well,
of
Well, I have a weekend guy.
Yep,
handles a lot of it. Because during the week I'm usually going somewhere, and I do have a traveling valet that comes with me.
Yeah.
And again, all of these things help.
Yeah, guys.
It's so hard
really
to do without
do.
It.
It's so important. You are so strong.
You are.
I agree.
does the gold jet have?
Well, you know what? I sold the gold jet.
Oh, you did.
I have the invisible one now.
Oh my
god! Man. Yeah.
It's pretty great.
How did you get that?
Friends with Wonder Woman again.
Yeah.
I met her. I think I met her at like the Golden Globes. I don't remember what it was.
She was also a supporter of John Hamm for Superman. I think she was like, we need to get this guy.
We had a lot of conversations with it, and again, too old. Just too old.
You think that's the case?
Yeah. It was a weird thing. She is an Amazon. She doesn't age.
Yeah.
And it was weird, you know. And I think Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Great. Great kid.
Yep.
Great actor.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know what? They had a chemistry read. I was there.
Yeah.
It was, sparks were flying. So I get it.
You
I
had to approve it. Of the new Superman.
I did not have to approve. I was invited in to take a look.
He called her big boned, though. And she literally.
Yeah, that didn't play well. But you know what? The kid is charming. And he bounced back from that. So anyway, I asked her, I'm like, you're going to be working on this thing. They're going to do three of them. You're going to be working forever. I'll take that jet off your hands if you don't, you know, if you don't want it. And she was kind enough to say, like, you know what? Great.
Now, how do you fuel up the... I mean, where do you...
Well, you have to
unleaded.
You have to know.
Right.
Obviously. Yeah. And it comes with a whole, like, there's a whole checklist, like most planes. But there's also a whole breaking in process where your invisible pilot takes you through where everything is.
Oh, so the whole crew is invisible as
well. Yeah, otherwise there's just going to be a bunch of weird dudes rolling around in the air.
That's true. That's why I heard John Hamm acquired the flight.
No, wait. This isn't... I think Now, hers was just seemed like a two-person jet. It seems like you have acquired an invisible commercial airliner.
No. It's like a G5. It's a nice size plane. You can probably get 10 people on it.
Okay.
Two pilots, one stewardess.
Sure.
And then room for 10 or 11. But
of your invisible friends.
No. All the passengers are visible.
Oh.
So it's fun if you have a lot of people because it just looks like a party in midair.
The floating party.
Either a floating party or a suicide pack.
That's Chappelle's old joke about that. Like, hey, man, that's the flying whore going by.
Sitting.
Yeah,
it's a weird way to fly.
Yeah,
but
you can see her through it. She's just
shifting something.
Yeah.
Something with her hand. It's a manual plane.
It's a plane
is a 5-speed.
Yeah, the clutch sticks a little bit on the invisible jet.
You gotta watch it. Especially first
pop
gear.
Pop the clutch. Yeah. You gotta push it off a hill. Yeah. I actually saw the Morgan Spurlock Joss Whedon Comic-Con movie last night, which was really really fun. But one of the things on the
floor. What's it called? What's the title?
Comic-Con Episode 4: A New Episode 4: A Fan's Hope.
I don't get it.
Well, it's episode. So they were actually selling on the Comic-Con floor. It was a packaging of nothing, and it was an invisible jet. And it was the packaging was shaped like the jet, and so
I like that.
You
idea.
May have some
how much
royalties?
How much was it?
It was more than zero. So you were buying the packaging.
Less than infinity.
It was in between zero and infinity. Are you playing anything right now? Are you reading anything? What are you playing at the moment?
Any games?
Yeah.
What is the last game? All right. Because I'm friends with Rich Summer, I've been.
He loves board games.
Yeah, and I've been invited into that weird world.
And how is it? What are you guys playing?
The last game I bought on the phone was something called Ticket to Ride.
Oh, Ticket to Ride.
An old-timey train game.
Welcome aboard, John Hamm, your Ticket to Ride.
Train games. Which is exactly
is that a brain
as awful as it sounds. But it's fun enough. And there's no internet component to it. So it's actually a game you can sit and play while you're waiting in line in sort of real time, which is nice. Like a la Angry Birds or whatever. There's no, like...
Right,
internet back and forth.
A la Angry Birds is a completely different game.
It's
when they're doing. They have a mission.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
You want to keep going with that, or you want to?
I'm going to let that one.
At Chris's look. No,
I'm not going to yes and that.
You want to keep going?
I'm going
to up to you.
I'm going to do the other game of no but.
Okay.
No, but we're going to have to probably cut that out. So
we didn't name names.
I'm not. Listen, you, Jonah Ray, who works in the E building.
I'm sure they hate that building.
Keep going with it.
It's fun. It's fun.
Sometimes it's fun to pull the fish out of water and just watch them gasp for air and see how that one's going to wrap up.
Ooh.
If I had some backup, I would have fucking ripped on that for an hour.
Yeah, we're not really going to back you up on that one. You've been doing a fuck ton of publicity, I imagine.
A lot of stuff, yeah. With the season 5 upon us now, we did a lot of press for the You May Hear the Scratch in My Voice. That is not me doing that on purpose. It's just, tired.
That's just from you saying a million times, yes, Don's happier.
No, we don't smoke real cigarettes. No, they're not. And mostly it's like water with food coloring. Yeah, it's... I don't know. We'll see what happens with Betty. Spoiler alert.
Oh, come on. This is real time it.
Is it? I don't know. When
we shouldn't spoil anything. I got shit for spoiling. You said something in one of the last episodes that happened 3 seasons ago on Breaking Bad, and someone's like, I was so angry I couldn't sleep. And I'm like, listen, First of all,
I don't care enough, so I can't sleep.
You need to like work on your sleep habits. I think really more than
no. I don't.
Sorry about Mrs. Blankenship. I'm sorry for spoiling.
Let's just say if it's on DVD, then
You know? That's totally fair. If it's on DVD, if it's on direct download.
What's the fun of like keeping up with shows where you can't talk about it with everybody? I agree. The whole water cooler conversation.
You can talk about stuff that happened 3 seasons ago. By the way, I was so excited. The actress who played Mrs. Blankenship,
Randy,
was Daniel LaRusso's mother in Karate Kid, and was also, a lot of people may not remember, played Billy Crystal's wife in Soap. Which was a fucking awesome show. Wow. He was gay on the show, and she, I believe, was a lesbian on the show, and they—a marriage
of convenience.
Yes, exactly. So I loved seeing her on the show. You think they'll bring her back after
she's dead?
You think they're going to bring her back?
Never say never. There could certainly be a flashback to a younger Miss Blankenship, and then I don't know. They'd probably have to recast her.
Listen, it's just a good thing that AMC isn't like, let's just mash up all the shows. So Blankenship's a zombie, and she's
Sarah Boyle comes from the West.
Yeah,
Tales.
She's a teacher at Walter White's school.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the mashups.
Walter White's not spending a lot of time at school, by the way.
He's not.
No. At all. Has anybody...
Spoiler!
He just doesn't... He's really lost the passion for teaching.
It's like, what happened to that? I don't remember him quitting. I remember him working at a car wash and then them buying the car wash.
No, he gets kicked... Remember, he takes a break... And then he has the thing with the principal, and then he hits on her.
He says school is for pussies.
He hits on her, and then he's got to go.
Don't go to school.
Yeah, exactly.
School is for pussies.
Yeah.
Don't go to school.
That's a bold stance.
Yeah, I think so.
Bold stance
for anyone to take,
especially a chemistry teacher.
Well, but who also enjoys making meth? Spoiler alert, he makes meth on
Wait
the show.
A minute. Hold on now. I have not seen this season.
Oh, shit, man. I'm sorry.
The spoiler is that he actually enjoys it. That's the spoiler.
But that's not spoiling anything. He's a chemist. Why wouldn't he enjoy manufacturing something? The sheer pleasure
of creating.
That's what he was born to do, the big lab.
So he goes back with a pile of meth to the school.
C2H4OH. Right? I mean... Covalent bonds. Come on, you guys.
Let's share some electrons, you guys.
Just share it. It's that come in, they come out.
You know, when Kevin Smith does a podcast or Corolla does a podcast, it is a covalent podcast bond, technically, is what's happening. just a little chemistry humor out there.
Chris Hardwick's nickname, Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
Well, you take the San Diego Freeway to the Slauson, cut off, get out of the car, cut off your Slauson. I miss Carson. I loved Johnny Carson. I wonder if Carson...
YouTube.
Yeah.
Big YouTube presence.
Yeah, official Johnny Carson.
Yeah, official Johnny Carson. A lot of great clips.
Yeah, basically it's basically all that video series, the best of Johnny Carson.
It is a YouTube hole. You will fall if you start down that hole. You will fall down for probably an hour.
Yeah.
YouTube time machine.
I just won't sleep for like 3 days, and you'll just be able to hear Bert
time machine.
YouTube time machine.
See, funny.
I don't leave my house for days, but you just hear the echoes of Burt Reynolds' laugh.
Every time I think about old Carson clips, I just think about that SNL sketch where they're like looking back at the old clips.
Oh yeah, with Farley.
And Farley's done. Well, it's Carson and Burt Reynolds, played by Norm Macdonald, their pants are around their ankles, and they're like laughing.
Yeah.
And then Chris Farley's Dom DeLuise comes up behind them and then puts cream pies on their crotches. Yeah. Starts doing the and then starts peeing his pants.
Those boys in that era did a lot of pants peeing humor.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of jokes.
Things got a little weird.
Things got a little weird. Who was doing Carson at that point?
That was Dana Carvey.
Oh, was he hosting or was he around still?
No, he was around still. I think that was...
Wow.
Yeah, it might have been
right
toward
the end. 93, I think, was his last
season. It was right around the same time as Carsenio.
Carsenio was very funny.
He wanted to hip up his show.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Rob Lowe. Yeah. Or no, Rob Lowe was a...
Kevin Bacon, wasn't it?
No, Rob Lowe did... Arsenio Beckman.
Oh, that's right.
Arsenio Beckman show, which was very funny. Carsenio was great.
Carsenio was great. And then
that was Hartman.
And Phil.
Yeah,
you know,
Phil Hartman. Yeah, it's like it's a bit sad. So we're all really worried about you.
One trick pony.
God, I still even when I was driving here today, for some reason I went through the. I was going through one of the old Jeopardy sketches with Farrell and just Daryl Hammond and the rapists.
Yeah,
like, the rapists. Therapists.
Therapists.
Penis mightier.
I'll tell you.
I'll take swords for 300. It's actually
S-words.
I mean, is it all comprehensible to you when you step on that SNL? Because now you're one of those people in the SNL family that's sort of like an honorary cast member in a weird sort of way. Like, is that even, can you even process that information?
If that's true, which I do not necessarily agree with, I'm like a very, very weak cast member.
No,
you see
no,
the guys
no.
that are good at that stuff. And I've gone through like, and I've seen like a lot of really talented people like not make it on that show, you know, whether it's Jenny Slate or Michaela Watkins or like, you know, people that
Dave Koechner had one season.
Yeah. I mean, but just in a brief time that I've been there and I don't know. Did you guys see Wanderlust?
No.
It's really good. It's really funny. And Michaela Watkins is so hilarious in it. And I've seen her do tons of stuff where she's just been really funny. And Slate too, and all these guys.
And Rob Riggle too only had a
Riggle,
season.
Yeah. There's a guy where you're like, how? But yeah. For whatever reason, like the gears don't mesh and like, yeah. Off you go. And so it's such a weird thing when it actually happens and you see people really blow up on that show, like I think Vanessa is doing now, and Taryn and a couple of young guys that are really, really blowing up now.
I was surprised about Jenny Slate not taking off more.
Yeah, it was surprising because you thought, oh, that's a good fit. And like she's got the good energy. The SNL guys recently had, it was an in-house March Madness of mm-hmm. all of the digital shorts. Mm-hmm. That Seth went and seeded everybody. They've actually had something like 98 of them.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy when you think about it. But that they've seeded the top 64, and then they had a bracket, and it was all in-house, and they all like would get together over like 3 weeks and vote and watch them all and vote. And,
oh, wow.
Like old-timey, like analog, you know, put it in a piece of paper and wrote it and then count them all up. And so I was watching a couple with some of the guys and some of the older ones, and you're like, man, yeah, this has been going on a long time.
Yeah.
And stuff that you just forget about. And you see people that are off the show now that were in it, and it's nuts. And yeah, Slate was in Sergio.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Lost Boys saxophone player.
Yeah,
right?
The crazy Lost Boys saxophone player curse. Yeah, yeah. It's actually called The Curse.
Yeah.
By the way, you guys are going to that big saxophone concert in Santa Cruz this
on
weekend?
The beach?
Yeah, right on the beach. There.
You got to be careful with those guys on the motorcycles, though.
What?
They'll so here's the thing. I was hanging out with them. I was like, oh, man, this rice looks great. Mm-hmm. Turns out, maggots.
Maggots. You're eating maggots, Jonah.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
I mean, the funny thing is, and it should be universal knowledge at this point, but vampires love saxophones. I mean,
they do.
I'm surprised, and I think I don't think I'm gonna ruin season 6 of True Blood for anybody.
A lot of sax. I think
M83 comes in.
Yeah,
there's a lot of like
sexy sax man.
Sexy sax working on that.
Do you? I think they do call the saxophone the vampire flute. Right, that is the vampire flute. It actually lulls them.
It's come, because it's like St. Patrick and the Snakes. That's not true. Yeah. It's like who's the guy that played the thing?
St. Flutie,
the Pied Piper.
It's like Flutie. Doug Flutie.
Saint Flutie. Yeah.
It's like when Doug Flutie goes in,
he would lead the Patriots to Cornwallis. Wait,
and then they would unearth the vampires. I want to see that kind of mashups too, where it's like if we
Doug Flutie.
Wait a minute, I just remember.
What are you doing in True Blood?
Here's the only reason I know who Doug Flutie is because of, I remember Rich Hall did a sketch on SNL in the 80s where it was Doug Flutie with the Heisman Trophy and they were interviewing him.
Oh, that was with Desmond Tutu?
Was it Desmond Tutu? And like one of them, who was hosting the show? I think it was
Eddie Murphy, yeah.
And
Desmond
Tutu melted the Heisman Trophy. He broke off the arm.
Broke off the arm and then had
and
to
then
like figure it out.
And then he tried to fucking weld it back together and he just
glop.
Handed...
I remember that sketch.
I'm so glad you remember. That's the only reason I know who Doug Flutie is.
I did a reading of a play in London of a Nora Ephron play with – it was about 12 people in it. 10 of them were British, and then it was me and Rich Hall.
Oh, wow. He's big in England.
Apparently. Really? I guess he lives there. But I was like, Rich Hall. Oh, my God. Like –
time for fun with plexiglass.
Sniglets were a huge part of my life. Like,
not necessarily the news. Yeah, I was in England in a couple months ago, and he's a big comic presence
still
there.
Still looks great.
Super funny.
Still sounds exactly like Rich Hall.
Exactly
why
like
you wouldn't, but...
I think he just sort of got fed up with the American system, television system or whatever. He just like went to England and became like a famous
that
comic in England.
More and more, I think.
Rich
Fulcher.
Rich Fulcher,
was
another one.
But like, you know... Bill Hicks and Cross even had like a weird sort of weird life in England.
Todd Margaret.
And Zach. Like all those guys like had more success in England.
Those are people we all know, you guys.
What?
What about the people we don't know?
Like Steve?
We don't know.
Daryl?
Anything about Steve?
Derek. Florence. The Dominoes.
St. Patrick.
St. Flutie.
We're in St. Flutie. Hey, St. Flutie, would you put that down for a second and finish your chores? I was going to say, I would love to see that with the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, like all the sort of historical mashups where they put supernatural beings into it. I think they should start doing that with sports teams. Like,
sports teams.
Like the 76 Packers zombies.
Well, they kind of did that, right? Gilligan's Island when the Harlem Globetrotters
would show up in a lot of shows.
Yeah.
They really did just turn up. Like the Harlem Globetrotters just happened to be in the middle of a Louisiana swamp on Scooby-Doo. They just happened to turn up.
You gotta ask.
Hey, you just gotta ask.
You gotta put yourself out there.
We can't get the Globetrotters. Well, we can ask.
I mean, listen, I'm sure Matthew Weiner loves when people say you should, which is what I said to him on the bowling show, there should be bowling on Mad Men, because that was the sport in the 60s. Why not the Harlem Globetrotters? Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, Sterling Cooper Draper Price has been challenged by the Harlem Globetrotters.
That was
we
so...
got to put together a basketball team.
I don't even think you could expect that. That like what just happened would make someone's eyes melt out of their head. Like it's John Hamm whistling the Mad Men theme, but then going to the Sweet Georgia Brown because the Harlem Globetrotters are coming on to Mad Men.
Sterling Cooper Draper Price Lemon.
Guys, Metal Arc has a corner office. Guys, what are we going to do?
He's talented.
We got to help him defeat the Army team.
He's spinning that Mohawk Airlines plane on his finger again.
We're going to crush Y&R in the interagency game this year.
How did they get the Globetrotters? Their van just broke down in front of the Super
How did they all fit in a van?
So tall. Yeah, they just travel by van everywhere. Yeah. That's all they do.
Come on, boys. It's time to move on.
I wonder if
had a lot of fun, but we got to head on down the road.
And then they all hitchhike, like at the end of the Incredible Hulk TV show. They're all just on the side. And no one ever picks them up.
No one ever picks them up.
Exactly.
I can't whistle that well.
Squiddle do.
Can you do the
Squiddle-bop.
I can't do the Mr. Goldblum, please. Again.
Sorry.
Mr. Goldblum,
I've always wanted to hear scatting with like mostly consonants. It seems incredible.
I think that consonant is
a Jewish consonant?
Oh Lord. Again, you bring it back to race.
So where do we live in, man? A melting pot.
I think scatting with consonants is just Tourette's. I think that's what that's called. It's just straight up. I think a nicer name for Tourette's is scatting with consonants.
Scatting with consonants.
Yeah.
I like
Scat Man Crothers.
Scat Man Crothers. What do you got there, John Hamm?
Oh, please play.
What
please
do you got play. There? I'm a scat man. This is actually Scatman Carruthers, right?
I don't think so.
That was quick on the draw.
I think this was Lou Bega's emotional forefather.
Oh my God! Anthropologists have been searching for Lou Bega's, Louis Bega's. But where did Mambo Number 5 come from? What were Mambos one through four? Come on, people!
Turns out it was the Scatman, who I think actually went by. Just the Scatman.
He was just the Scatman.
There was no second.
Have the thing you do in your name, I say. Have the thing you do in your
name. Why not? Yeah. Oh, Scatman John.
Scatman John. Oh, that could be you. Is it J-O-N or J-O-H-N?
There's an H.
Okay, well, then you can still get J-O-N. Yeah. I mean, according to the union.
It's totally true.
You can still get your Scatman John J-O-N.
The Scat Union?
Can you imagine? Yeah. You should
That sounds horrible. Do not Google
don't
that.
Don't go to scatunion.com.
Do not Google that.
Go to scatunion.com. If you have a scat name you want to register, that is not the place
where you want to be.
You want to go to scatunion.gov.
Org.
Or org.
Yes. Do not go
Don't go
there.
To Scatman Deuce.
Oh no.
Boo-da-ba-boo-boo. Squeeze up a little pup. They do sound like mouth farts. I mean, if we're being honest.
No, they don't. They sound like beautiful mouth instruments.
Okay.
Matt Dwyer has a great joke about scatting. It's a bunch of guys hanging out in Chicago. It's like, hey, we should start a jazz band. Yeah, yeah. Hey, what do you do? Well, I play the bass. Awesome. You'll be the bass player. We do. Well, I'm really good at drums. You'll be the drummer. Hey, Craig, what do you do? Well, I can talk like a stroke victim.
Oh, I love Matt Dwyer.
We've got our front man.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you like? What is sort of the landscape of your career now in terms of, do you just get to pick stuff?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's like, I guess it's like anything else. Like, I remember getting like the first job I ever got, and then thinking like, all right, like it's never looking back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because I'm employed now, and but. What ends up happening is then you just start competing with whoever's else on the next quantum level of you know, actor, you know, availability, you know.
Yeah.
So now I'm just competing with people that get better movies, you know, and it's, which is fine, you know, it's all good. They most of those people can't do all the movies, so they'll eventually fall down to, you know, I'll take whatever Rudd doesn't want to do, you know, which is totally how it works until you're the king of Hollywood, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Someone was saying recently, it's like even Tom Cruise or Will Smith will have a timer. They go, ah, Will Smith got it. You know,
totally.
They still have a, like,
absolutely.
They're at the top.
I mean, you know, there's like five movies a year that the big movies that the big stars get, which I am not one of those people, but like, so yeah, so somewhere Ryan Reynolds is like, damn it, you,
yeah, yeah,
Chris Pine,
right,
you stir. Yeah.
They should make him duke it out.
Totally.
Ryan Reynolds would rip
right under the water tower, you know, at Warner Brothers.
They just poke a hole in the water.
The water goes. There's a sax guy in the background.
And all of the vampires.
All of the people, all of the vampires come.
Yeah. My ears are perking up. I hear saxophone sounds.
Huh?
Are you going to the Reynolds Pine match? They're fighting for Star Trek. Blah.
Unfortunately, it is at noon.
Would you stop?
We'll
talking?
All burn
you
up.
You are not from Romania. You were born in Cleveland, but I am a vampire.
I am
a
vampire.
This is how we talk now.
What time does the sax concert start? Noon? I'll make the sacrifice.
Literally, I will die to see that sexy sex man.
If I hear just two notes, it'll be worth it.
Vampires aren't like when they do the classic Romanian vampire, they don't portray him properly because he constantly would be saying, "Buddy, buddy,
my friend,
my friend, I'm going to bite you,
I'm
buddy,
going to bite your neck,
buddy.
Nothing personal.
It's okay, buddy.
What do you
buddy.
Like? Bloody,
bloody, bloody." You bite your kids first, okay? I bite your kids first, I make you watch.
Tell you what.
Tell you what. It's a good deal.
Yeah. It's like you love it.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you're... Are you working now, or are you just...
No, I am officially unemployed, which is nice.
He directed the last episode of Mad Men.
I directed Sunday's episode of Mad Men, which was very fun.
I have not seen... I saw the first episode of Mad Men, and the second episode is on my DVR, so I haven't seen it yet.
That's the one I directed.
Oh,
the one
shit.
You haven't seen.
No.
The one that Jonah spoiled.
Oh, man. Oh, I didn't...
Hardly...
I wasn't paying attention to. Oh, what did you say?
I don't remember.
Bleep out whatever he said.
You're not going to listen to this. No one's listening to this.
They,
oh, you're right.
Surprisingly,
it was a
reveal.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
But no big deal.
Five people listen. All five people just have to listen to it and then complain about it at me. And if five people complain, I'm like,
losing sleep.
Everyone's mad at me. And they're like, well, it's just those five people.
Just those
really.
Five guys. More we'll never meet.
More laughs this season so far.
So far.
Yeah.
Big laughs. A lot, you know, it's I think, you know, I'm not spoiling anything by saying it. We've talked about it in the press, but a lot of it is sort of everybody's kind of in a relatively happy place. And it's like, well, what happens when you're moderately comfortable?
Well, it's also because, you know, especially if you have the previous four seasons of the show in your head, you know, like it's uncomfortable for me to watch the characters
be
happy because I keep expecting like. Someone's going to fall off the balcony.
Yeah, when's the other shoe going
to
drop?
Something horrible is about to happen. And so there's this constant state in the season premiere. There was a constant state of like me being tense, like, oh, that's too comfortable. Something shitty's going
to
happen.
Well, I think, you know, I think the show's kind of earned that ability to kind of have that sense of like, well, this can't be, they can't be happy.
Yeah, right.
What? And fact of the matter is, like, they kind of are.
Yeah.
You know, there's not the sort of impending doom of the company's not going to go under if they don't get the next thing. It's floating by. It's not doing great, but it's doing okay. And like, and it's the marriages have already dissolved, so that's done with. We don't have to worry about that. And like, everybody's kind of like, all right.
I think Lane, like, just within the first episode, his little story just goes to show. It's like oh, everything's just kind of trotting along, and then he's kind of comfortable, so he puts himself in a weird, like, he pushes himself into a situation that he wouldn't normally do, and I think that's what's going to be really interesting, seeing everybody kind of need to break out of just the.
Well, I can say with virtual certainty that the show goes in a very strange place this season, and awesome. I think it's worthwhile. We had a great time making it. It was very different from most of the other seasons that we did, and I think people will be pleasantly surprised with what happens, but definitely surprised.
You got to marinate for a year and a half.
Well, you know, we were back at work probably like 2 months later than we normally would have been.
Oh, okay.
We finished the season in January. But it didn't air till late March, so the hiatus for the viewer was significantly longer than the hiatus for us.
Let me re-ask that question in the way that you've probably been asked it 100 times. John, 18 months. I mean, what's going on there, man? How do you guys even get back to work in a situation like that?
Who's Ryan Seacrest.
What are you talking about? Don't look at me. Is someone playing a saxophone? Scurry.
Daddy, come on.
Ryan Seacrest is not a vampire, you guys.
That we know of. He's daytime vampire. Reverse vampire.
He's going to be one of those guys that doesn't age. Ever.
Well, he's Dick Clark's hand-chosen successor.
Dick Clark, like, put the energy into
that's
him.
Dick Clark quickly became old.
Yeah, Dick Clark aged in, like, one ceremony.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, here you go.
It's like the Highlander.
Yes, just exactly.
Lightning, and he got all of the power.
That's what happened.
There can only be half.
There can only be half. What? One would work better, you guys. I know the story. Half is how it works.
That's when Christopher Lambert's character becomes a math teacher.
There can only be half. I don't understand. Well, when you cut something into two...
They literally will only be a half left. Half. You cannot have one if you have two anyway. Which brings us to incremental fractions.
Today, irrational numbers.
I don't know why I turned him into Peter Lorre.
It's because he has an indecipherable accent.
There was the weirdest... It was in Highlander... It was his accent never kind of struck a weird chord until there was one part when he's in present time and the cop is asking him a question about something, and he's like, oh, the cop asks him if he's gay or something. He's like, oh, are you? And he goes, why are you looking to get a piece of ass? And it was just this weird, like, I can't place his accent.
Perfect for a guy that's 700 years old.
I mean, that's exactly what happened.
He's got a lot of influences.
A mashup. He would want to.
Who was the bad guy? Was the bad guy in that the bad guy in 48 Hours?
No.
It was not James Remar, right?
No, it was not James Remar. It was, he was a big guy, like one of those guys who always kind of played a big, evil guy.
Yeah, scary dude.
But I can't remember his name.
When he got almost cut off.
Almost, but not all the way through.
Gotta go big or go
and
home.
And then he ripped his woman.
No half
and then
measures.
It was all, yeah. What would you? Is there any movie that you would love to see remade? I mean, I know the remake thing is kind of crappy, but is there a movie where you're like, oh, if they just had a little bit better technology, that would actually be a good
That's a
remake.
Good question. I feel like I was just having this conversation, and of course now I can't remember it. But yeah, you know, you think there were these. Movies that were really funny that we thought were really funny at the time, whether it was like, you know, what was the movie with, stupid sci-fi movie, Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
Like where you're like, oh, like, and that must have come from some weird source material where you're like, oh, you guys, it would have been better if the car didn't look like it was made of cardboard and the sets weren't like when they were pressing buttons, the entire wall moves.
It's one of those comic book movies like when they did Flash Gordon in the 80s, and it was just like the only way that they could represent aliens was like, oh, we just put some dwarves in garbage bags and put melons on their heads.
Weirder eyebrows.
Yeah,
weirder it's the Star Trek thing. This weird forehead applications.
And then some special effects guys trying to justify, like, why they won't have Earth eyebrows? These are not Earth eyebrows.
Gravity's different there. Their eyebrows are different.
Find a place that has those eyebrows. You won't.
I dare you. It's a big universe.
I think they should remake
like Plan 9 from Outer Space. Just take it real seriously.
Or go back and just make a bunch of Corman movies, but for serious.
Yeah, but for exactly. serious and like with high production values.
Yeah.
That would be pretty amazing. But they did sort of, what was the Keanu Reeves remake that they...
He was in that.
Oh, you were in
Day
that.
Day of the Earth Stood Still. They did that,
they
yeah.
did the Day of the Earth Stood
yeah.
Still.
You were a scientist.
I was an scientist.
And you were an scientist.
I was supposed to be a Frenchman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. So somebody clearly fell out.
And
I was available. Yeah.
France.
They wanted Jean, so
they wanted Christopher Lambert.
They wanted Christopher Lambert. His quote was too big.
It's not available.
You know what the thing I find funny about speaking of remakes is like we already have another Spider-Man.
Already?
Yeah. Like how? There have been, since what, 2000, there have been four Spider-Mans?
Yeah.
Three of the original with Tobey Maguire. Now they're already rebooted.
A whole reboot.
That was weird. Like it was like when they had two Hulks, like kind of back-to-back Hulks.
Yeah.
Sort of like, don't forget about the other one. This is the Hulk.
And now there's a third guy playing the Hulk in the Avengers movie.
Mark Ruffalo.
But it is weird. Like it's so strange that obviously there have been so many superhero movies and those are kind of fun, and they're way better now. Like the technology has caught up to the place where you can legitimately like see a dude that shoots beams out of his eyes, and it doesn't look like a weird, you know, thing that they drew in at the last second or whatever. But I think there is a point of diminishing returns when the CGI is so omnipresent that you're just kind of like the Spider-Man thing. Like as soon as he puts the thing over his face, you're like, well, now you're a robot.
Now we're in a computer.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's playing it because it's completely generated.
Yeah,
it
might as well just be a voiceover actor just saying all the quips.
Well, it kind of is, actually. I mean,
at that point, as long as he's got his mask on, there's a whole thing.
A lot of...
I've always said don't remake great movies. Like go back in and fix the ones that didn't work.
Yeah, the ones that almost were good but could have been better.
Yeah.
I think, and tell me if you think I'm wrong on this, but I think a movie like Cannonball Run could be redone with funny people from now.
Yeah.
And not take anything away from the original.
No, I totally think
funny
they
people from
that.
The 70s or early 80s.
And Jackie
or whatever,
Chan could still be in it.
Could still be in it because he doesn't age.
Asian's not aging.
See? Now you get it.
What did I do?
Now you get it.
I didn't get it.
But don't you think that would be funny with like funny people from the now?
Yeah, I do. I think those sort of like
if the hot lady duo was like pick two hot ladies.
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Boom.
Bam.
And they were the hot lady duo driving a Lamborghini.
Yep. You mean I see what you mean. You mean like what was her name?
Barbara Bach and like whoever it was.
Oh, it was Adrienne Barbeau.
Yeah.
Adrienne Barbeau.
Right.
Yeah. Who's just all boobs and lycra. Yeah.
Like Tina Fey. Or Amy Poehler.
Or both of them.
But don't you think that would be a good idea?
Tina, please.
You're welcome, Hollywood.
We're in it. We are in it.
But those kind of like Laugh Olympic mashup movies like...
Mad World?
Yeah, like Mad Mad World
Mad World is kind of the taken to the largest extreme. I mean, that movie had everyone from like the Three Stooges to Henny Youngman to, you know, there was a crazy amount of... It was too much.
Right, okay.
It was too much on the Sunday.
They could have used one less Henny. It was like one
two
too
stooges.
Many, one too many
two
hennies.
Just put a stooge in.
Just a stooge.
Three Stooges movie.
But they just can't. They can't exist separately. Hey, you lame brain. I'm so alone.
My friends are all dead.
I'm a cutter, you lame brain. Cut, 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 cut. Mo, what are you doing, Mo?
Respect yourself.
I need to do this to feel. I need to come.
See, this will kill a drifter.
Turns out I was the bozo all along.
Mo.
Very self-reflective stooge.
Oh, you're too hot on yourself. You're
very existential.
Hot.
What have you been reading?
Being in nothingness, you lame brain.
Every day I look in the mirror, I'm the lame brain. I hurt my fingers trying to poke myself in the eye.
I would love to see...
Anytime I have mirrors I broke, poking myself in the eye.
I'd love to see Three Stooges, but with like really deep... like dialogue, like you're all an extension of my reality, and then slapping.
The existential Three Stooges.
Write
it up.
Curly does too much speed, and then that's why he just starts running around in circles on the ground.
Yeah, on his shoulder. I really the last thing I want to touch on is that it's you're in an interesting place in your life and your career where not a lot of people will ever get this, but you can just say things very casually and they turn into. Things like the Kim Kardashian thing, very just sort of, it just seems like it was just sort of a tossed off comment, like, well, you know, I just kind of have an opinion about this, and then like the fucking press just blew it up into a thing.
My thing was the outrage, the how dare you of that,
right.
Like, how dare I what? Like, really, this is, people are outraged by this? That doesn't match the outrage doesn't match. But that's, I think, part of the problem. And if I may be so bold, is just the sort of, because everything is retweeted and reposted and reblogged, and the echo chamber has become so small that the slightest noise reverberates in this crazy outsized way. And you know, what was a comment about, you know, sort of the ridiculousness of our celebrity culture becomes this mean attack on someone who doesn't deserve it. And I'm like,
but then that in itself became the thing you were already commenting on.
Yeah.
That was
it turned right into what I was saying, which is like,
I loved your response to it though, which was, I think the response was like, oh yeah, I guess I could see how you would take it that way. So, you know,
all right,
what are you gonna...
I guess we're not hanging out anymore.
Oh man.
I didn't mean to offend the person that's never done anything.
I'm so sorry.
To be fair, I didn't say that.
That was me, Jonah Ray.
That was Jonah Ray. But it is a weird. I mean, like, do you feel that?
But also, the things like, I'm not a professional comedian. Like, comedians can not hide behind, but like have the built-in defense of like, I'm being funny,
right?
And I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's harder to do that if you don't have like a history of you know, sort of saying outrageous things or poking fun at the man,
right?
So whatever, you know, at the end of the day, like I stand by everything I've said, and that's all I can say. And it's I think, as I said, like the last thing I said about it was that, you know, I think what I said is accurate.
But I think it's ballsy to have said
something like that, and to be called careless,
right?
I think is a gross misappropriation of the term careless.
Well, I just respect it because I feel like I would backpedal really hard.
Careless is when you're. Credit card that you endorse charges predatory lending fees.
That's
careless.
Commenting on a thing in society that exists
is more accurate,
right?
Incisive.
It's a little more accurate than careless,
I think.
I just like, but like I said, I think I, you know, I would have backpedaled so hard, like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't, you know, because I don't know.
Which brings the question, why?
I don't know.
Because there was no malice intended. That was my thing. It's just like, look at this crazy stuff we do, and why do we do it? Why is it popular? Why do people care? Why do young women look up to this person? Like, what's the example set?
Right.
Like, if you're the beginning of your celebrity is releasing a sex tape, it's like, wow, that's the example? Like,
right.
That's the person we really want to hold up as a paragon of our culture?
Right.
When kids get asked these days what they like what they want to be when they grow up, they just want they say famous.
Yeah.
They don't say for being an actor. They don't say for being a singer.
Just famous.
Yeah.
Just famous for being famous. And whether that's like, I'm going to put naked pictures of myself on the internet.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to take naked pictures of my boyfriend and put them on there. Whatever it is. Like, it's easy and it's gross and it's ephemeral, but it's ephemeral is what
you
it really
can't
is
argue
too.
With the results.
It the half life on it is crazy short, and then you burn out, and then you're kind of walking around Hollywood with, you know,
put me.
Dignity.
Well, I've railed against them a lot on you know, on the podcast, and people are always like, yeah, it's kind of low hanging fruit. Why don't you take it easy?
Totally.
But I do feel like. And that is really what incenses me about the whole thing, is like, there's a generation of young girls, and I feel like they're getting younger, and like 12-year-old girls who are like, that's what I want to do. And I'm like, no,
or be.
Please.
Because not doing anything. And it's also like, she started as a millionaire.
Yeah.
This is not like a self-made story. She didn't pull herself by her boots. She was like a rich kid that lived in Beverly Hills.
I made $100 million from $50 million.
I mean, I doubled it.
I mean, that's fucking, that's a success in anyone's
Always
book.
Bet on black.
Always.
And with that,
Ray J. Always bet on Ray.
Oh, I was talking about roulette.
Oh,
yeah.
That me too.
Because she put $50 million on black, then she make $100 million.
Yeah. Ray J is my nickname for roulette.
Roulette.
You guys are gonna go play some Ray J this weekend.
Ray J.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonna play some Ray J this weekend. Anything else coming up you want to talk about before we release you into the world?
No. I think I may be doing another episode of NBC's hit comedy, 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. There may be an appearance in the live. They're doing another live show.
Nice.
Which would be fun. And then other than that, just trying to avoid tabloid celebrity drama.
Feuds.
Yeah, Twitter feuds.
Say something fake just to see if it gets picked up.
Like a fake word?
Yeah, see if it becomes part of the zeitgeist.
Florp.
Florp.
John Hamm says florp to the Kardashians.
Mulligatoon.
Mulligatoon, that old chestnut. That old chestnut.
I would have bet $1,000 that the word mulligatoon would not have come up twice today.
It came up earlier when we were bowling.
I heard it. I chose to forget.
Summer was drinking out of a mulligatoon.
Oh, yeah. But which is also a colloquial for spunk. If someone has spunk, they've got mulligatoon.
They got mulligatoon. That kid's got crazy mulligatoon.
That kid's got a lot of mulligatoon.
Give him a holding deal.
He's got a case of moxie. It's disgusting.
Well, I always enjoy it because you've been so cool and nice to, especially just the sort of comedy and, you know, the podcasting community. And I always like seeing you do well. And I also enjoy the, you and Will Ferrell are two guys that it's just, I when you work on something, I really get the sense that, like, that's a thing that he really wanted to do. Like, no, there was no Hollywood kind of machine going, like, you need to do this so because this is important. You know, like, you have to be thing.
I've been fortunate enough to not ever have to deal with that kind of stuff. And obviously it's out there and everyone has agents and everyone has, you know, people in their lives that are like, oh, here's what you should do. And you're kind of like, well, I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do. And I'm in a position where I don't have to, you know, necessarily do something for a paycheck or whatever and can do stupid, you know, things on the internet and stuff that's fun. And
like podcasts.
Like podcasts. And I like doing them. And it's fun. At the end of the day, like, you don't want to – we're actors and comics and people that do this for a living, but it's also stuff that ideally is inspiring to us in some way or makes us laugh. And and being around people that do that for me it makes it just better, you know?
Son, you got a lot of mulligatoon.
Thank you very much.
Right now. Thanks for coming on.
Should we end on a fart joke?
Yeah.
What about just a fart sound?
That was the NBC. we just accidentally did the NBC.
Oh, my God. We did. The three-tone fart sound.
Three-tone NBC farts.
That's going to, like, in 20 years, that's going to be the... That's
it literally will be. Yeah. It's like Idiocracy.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll just be a picture of a butt and a three-tone fart sound. Yeah.
Did you guys see 30 Farts this week?
Oh, oh man.
That's great.
It's the best written show on TV.
Really, but it's literally just 30 farts.
30 farts.
Not just that an ass is farting, but why the ass is farting.
Dude, you could make an internet show if you just put 30 farts together. Yeah. There's like 30 Helens.
Yeah,
30 Helens say.
30 farts agree.
30 farts agree.
Thank you, John Hamm.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this. Perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients. Popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.